لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار، إلى آخر الآية. صدق الله العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners, brothers and sisters, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the above verse that I have recited, and give glad tidings, O Muhammad, unto those who believe and do good deeds, and theirs are gardens underneath which the rivers flow, mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah. When we think of the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the life of his companions, mature and elderly people seem to come to mind. However, when we look at the first Muslims close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who began his prophethood at the age of 40, we see that most of them were very young indeed. At the great battle of Badr, Abu Jahl, a vowed and bitter enemy of Islam, was fatally wounded in the battle. And as he lay dying, he regretted his fate, not so much that he was about to die, but that his death should have been accomplished by two 13-year-old youth, Mu'az bin Amr and Mu'az bin Afra, of the non-warrior tribes of Medina. Everyone seemed to be full of enthusiasm and unto undoing each other in deeds of valor and to be honored with martyrdom. Hazrat Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anh says that I was fighting in my ranks on the day of Badr, when lo, I saw on my right and on my left two 13-year-old boys. Suddenly one of them asked me in a low voice, so that his companion should not hear, "Oh my uncle, can you point out Abu Jahl?" I replied to this lad, "Oh son of my brother, what have you to do with him?" He answered, "I have vowed before Almighty Allah that I shall kill him when I see him, or shall be killed by him." The other boy spoke to me likewise in a low voice, so that his companions could not hear. I then pointed Abu Jahl. I pointed out Abu Jahl to them, and they threw themselves onto him like two hawks and killed him. These two brave 13-year-old sons of Islam, Mu'az bin Amr and Mu'az bin Afra, were to become martyrs in one of the later battles. While Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making the call to Islam, he received a large part of his support from the youth. In fact, while several of the first Muslims were around 50 years old and several were above 35, the age of the remaining majority was under 30. For an example, the age of the following persons who accepted Islam at an early age was Hazrat Ali radiallahu anh, who was 10 years old, Abdullah bin Umar and Ubaidullah bin al-Jarrah were both 13, Uqba bin Amir was 14, Jabir bin Abdullah and Zayd bin Haris 15, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Habbab bin Arab and Zubayr bin Awam were all 16, Talha bin Ubaidullah, Abdurrahman bin Auf, Arqam bin Abil Arqam, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, and Asma binti Abu Bakr were all 17, Mu'az bin Jabal, Mus'ab bin Umair were 18, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was 19, Ja'far bin Abi Talib was 22, Usama bin Harith, Usama bin Affan, Abu Ubaidah and Abu Huraira and Umar were between 25 and 31. So those close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who fought together with him were also young. For this reason, Allah's beloved Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave distinct importance to them. Narrated by Samara bin Jundub, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the companions not to kill the youth of the idolaters. When Abdullah asked his father, Ahmad bin Hanbal, for this, what this meant, he said, "Oh, older people are not inclined to Islam, and the youth are closer to Islam than the old." As reported by Anas Malik radiallahu an, there were 70 youth from the Ansar, and they called themselves the Qurra. In the evening, they would disperse into the various districts of Medina and form lesson groups. They would lead the people in prayer and return to the Prophet's masjid in the morning. The Prophet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent them to Bir Ma'una to convey the Islamic message. However, they were betrayed, they were trapped, and all of them were martyred. Consequently, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the Qunut prayer for 15 days in the Fajr Salah in memory of all those killed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day when there is no shade except the shadow of Almighty Allah's throne, 7 classes of people will find shade in Almighty Allah's throne. The first group in this hadith are those who rule justly, and the second group is the youth who are worshipping Almighty Allah Ta'ala. In another narration, it is stated, Almighty Allah loves the youth who pass the youth in the obedience of Allah, and Allah loves the youth who repents on the day of Qiyamah, on doomsday, until man is asked about 5 things, he will not be freed from the interrogation in Almighty Allah's presence. How did he spend his life? Where did he spend his youth? Where he earned his property? And where he spent it, and what work he consistently did. For a youth who does a service for the elderly due to age, Almighty Allah Ta'ala will prepare others to serve him. An introduction into some of the young Sahaba trained by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ja'far bin Abu Talib. Ja'far was the son of the Prophet's uncle Abu Talib, and Ali radiallahu anhu, the elder brother. Ja'far bin Abu Talib migrated to Abyssinia and was as a result of persecution from the Meccans. The Muslims were called to the court of the king to explain about Islam, and he was appointed to address the king. It is said that he explained to the king so well that the king gave permission for the Muslims to stay, and he also accepted Islam, the king himself. This shows his knowledge and self-confidence as a youth. Another Sahabi, Usama bin Zayd. Usama is the son of Zayd bin Harith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's foster child and freed slave. He was Hibbu Rasulullah, or a youth loved and befriended by Allah, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shortly before the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Usama was appointed as the commander of the Sahaba army that was to be sent to Mute, in which were fought in that army was the likes of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu. And due to this appointment, some began to indicate their criticism, their anxiety, their displeasure. Hearing this, their criticism, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered a sermon to be prepared to the effect that some people had criticized Usama's appointment and that they had criticized his father, Zayd, who had also been appointed as one of the commanders of the Mute campaign in 8th after Hijrah, and was martyred there. But that he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, loved them both very much and found them worthy of this duty, and that he wanted them to wish Usama well and obey his commands. Another Sahabi, a famous Sahabi, Mus'ab bin Umair, a member of Makkah's wealthiest and noblest family, Mus'ab was raised in comfort and abundance. He was liked by everyone for his ways of dressing, courtesy, and physique. It is mentioned regarding his dressing in further research that Mus'ab, it is said that Mus'ab had, in today's time we have brands. Say you call the Nike brand and you want to buy the fancy brand, which cost a lot of money. It is said that Mus'ab bin Umair, he had one better than a brand. He had the most expensive material possible of that time, and it was tailor-made to suit him. Even his shoes were tailor-made for his feet. That's the lavishness that Mus'ab bin Umair experienced before Islam. He was an extremely intelligent youth, and due to his fine and clear speech, everyone envied him. there was no worldly blessing Mus'ab had not attained. But Mus'ab, it is said that when Mus'ab walked, before he even came on the street, the people could smell the fragrance. They knew that Mus'ab was coming. And that when Mus'ab had passed, for an hour later, they could still smell that fragrance that Mus'ab had been wearing. But at the same time, Mus'ab was in a spiritual crisis. Eventually, he went to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was in Arqam's house and became a Muslim. His family had tried everything to make him forgo his new religion, but Mus'ab bin Umair abandoned his family, his fortune, Makkah, and immigrated to Abyssinia. And when at the first Aqaba oath from those from Medina asked for a teacher to teach them Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately appointed Mus'ab bin Umair to this duty. Many people in Medina entered Islam with his efforts, and most learned Islam from him. And when Medina's teacher Mus'ab bin Umair was martyred in the Battle of Uhud, his feet remained uncovered when they covered his head with a shawl, and his head remained uncovered when they covered his feet. And finally, at the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his head was covered with a shawl and his feet were covered with plants. Another sahabi, Ikrama bin Abi Arqam, Arqam bin Abi Arqam, one of the first converts to Islam, Arqam's home next to the Safa peaks became the headquarters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other Muslims. Tied with loyalty to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put his house under Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's command. The house was called the Darul Arqam in Islamic history to be very suitable for Islamic activities, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it into a center. At first, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could call the people to Islam in this home. He would teach them how to worship here, and Muslims also hid in this home to escape the persecution of the idolaters, opening his home, which was just next to the Kaaba, for the call to Islam. When he was only a youth of 17 and 18 years old, shows what a brave and self-sacrificing young man he was. Mu'az bin Jabal. Mu'az was born in Medina. Mu'az became a Muslim at the second Aqaba out and became subject to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's close interest. And after the conquest of Makkah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him as his deputy. And in the year 9 after Hijrah, after returning from the Tabuk campaign, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him as governor of Yemen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the necessary recommendations as to how we should govern, call the people to Islam. But to this young governor who was only 27 years old, this was Mu'az's last meeting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another sahabi was Asma binti Abu Bakr. She was one of the first Muslim young women and was Aisha radiallahu anha's eldest sister. Her name became prominent at the time when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making preparations for migration. At night, she should carry the food to where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and her father Abu Bakr radiallahu anha hid for 3 days, and during the immigration, Asma divided her waistband into two and tied the bag of provisions with one. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complimented her, saying, "May Allah give you two waistbands in heaven for this one." And she is known as Zatun Nitaqain, the two waistbands, as a result of this. And during those days, a group including the enemy of Islam, Abu Jahl, came and asked where Asma's father was. And when she said, "I do not know," Abu Jahl struck her and her earrings fell to the ground. Another sahabi, Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha, passing her youth as the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha learned the religious sciences from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because she shared the same house with Islam's teacher, and because it was next to the masjid, she benefited from his teachings night and day, listening to his teachings and his conversations, and she immediately asked and learned anything she did not understand and was curious about and did not know. Due to the spiritual enlightenment that she got from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha, became the most distinguished teacher of Islamic principles, and due to her strong memory, she became unequaled servant in the transmission of hadith and the sunnah to the later generations. With the 2,210 ahadith she reported, she is fourth in rank amongst the seven sahaba radiallahu anhu who reported the most ahadith. Sa'laba bin Abdul Rahman, aged 16. Sa'laba ibn Abdul Rahman was a young man. At the age of 16, he ran the errands for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a lengthy story regarding Sa'laba, how Sa'laba one day while walking through the city of Medina doing an errand for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his eyes caught onto a door and at a doorway of a home, and then the wind blew a curtain and he had seen a lady in the bath, and it affected him such that he felt guilty that he, being a companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made such a grave sin. He felt that he had been a hypocrite, and he feared that Almighty Allah Ta'ala would reveal ayat to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his hypocrisy. So it is said that he fled Medina fearing this, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeing that Sa'laba was not present, not coming to him, he asked the companions, Where is Sa'laba? Then he sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent his sahaba looking for Sa'laba radiallahu anhu. And they went to the outskirts and they found some shepherds, some Bedouins, and they asked him, and they described Sa'laba radiallahu anhu, and Sa'laba came down from the mountains crying, fearing Allah, did Allah expose my hypocrisy for my mistake, for my sin. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Salman Farsi was amongst them, took him back to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him, he said, O Prophet of Allah, did Allah reveal the ayats of my hypocrisy? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes Sa'laba's tired body, places his head on his lap. Sa'laba says, O Prophet of Allah, remove the head of a sinner from you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comforted him until he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel as though ants are walking between my flesh and bones. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that it was dead and his time has come. He witnessed while Sa'laba's head was on his lap, Sa'laba proclaimed that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger. How lucky is Sa'laba, this youngster at 16, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his ghusl. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried him to his grave, lowered him into his grave. It is said that while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was carrying Sa'laba to his grave, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started walking on his tiptoes as if he was walking in a crowd. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, seeing this, asked him, why was he walking like this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he was being crowded by the malaika who had come to attend the janazah of Sa'laba radiallahu anhu. So my beloved listeners, look at this youngster at the age of 16. He has attained such a rank that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the malaika are descending upon his Sanaza. Sayyidina Umar bin al-Khattab narrated that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that some of Almighty Allah's servants are neither prophets nor martyrs. They are special people who on the day of reckoning, the Anbiya alayhi salam and the martyrs will envy them for their rank and nearness to Almighty Allah. Someone asked, O Prophet of Allah, who are they and what are the deeds, the type of deeds that they perform so that we may love them as well? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that they are the people who love one another for Allah, even though they have no blood ties, money to exchange, or worldly business to barter. But I swear by Allah, on the day of reckoning, their faces will be effulgent light and they will be raised on pulpits of light. They will not be subject to the fear when the creation is seized by the awness of the day of reckoning, nor will they be subject to the sorrow when the rest of creation will be seized by it. And thereafter he recited the verse 62 in Surah Yunus, behold, verily on the friends of Allah there is no fear, nor shall they be grieved. which is our foremost duty, Islamic duty and responsibility, to learn and to ponder unto the words of the Holy Quran and to follow the Sunnah way in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Once we have learned and acted upon it, what we have learned, it is obligatory upon us to pass on this knowledge to our children, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our non-Muslims, to our associates, and grant us to live that we say by what we say and not count us among those who say things that they do not do. My beloved youngsters who are listening, Islam was brought to us through the young efforts of the youth, and the youth have to stand up just like the young Sahabas did and carried Islam to the day of Qiyamah. And those parents and grandparents who are listening, it is our duty to guide our children, spend on their deen, on their deeny knowledge, and not on their dunyawi knowledge only, that we only spend time on the sports and the extra activities after school, and we forget about their maktab, we forget about taking them. We need to spend time with them, take them for salah. If we have a son, take the son, go with the son for salah. If we have a daughter, make the daughter read salah. Would you next to you, every salah from Fajr right to Isha, every day, even on holidays. Teach them at home, have talim at home, perform. My respected brothers, in today's the youth, the biggest complaint they have that their parents do not have time for them, that their parents will just give them money and say, go sort yourself out. Some youngsters today, it is said that they say, we have so much money, they do not know what to do with. And that's why in today's time we have a problem with drugs and alcohol, because youngsters have abundance of wealth in the possession and the parents do not have time for them. And we also as parents have a responsibility to check who are their friends, do they have good company, check on the social media, they post, and also have a check on their phone, what pictures are they taking, what applications are they using, what games are they playing. There is a Facebook page called Code 9 Parents that gives us the opportunity to, it gives us knowledge on how the youth on different applications, how we can misguide our youngsters. So let us make that effort.